My name is Wendy Brunton, and I've been sitting on the second row here for about 10 years. I've had my experiences in different ministries in the church, but probably one of my things I love the most is being mom and sister and friend to many. But I just do want to say this church has been a gift, one of the greatest gifts in my life, and I'm really thankful. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Man, what a sweet time of worship. Thank you, Wendy. I hear a lot of sniffles out there. I don't know if it's the season or the Spirit working in and among us. Who knows? Maybe both, yeah. We have been singing a chorus, God is so good, for the past, four or five weeks. We're going to try it again today. We're gonna sing it in English, and then we've got a surprise. And I don't know how this is going to work, because the person that's going to be teaching us is not actually here, not even in America right now. It's somewhere on the other side of the planet. So we're gonna try it, all right? Will you sing with me, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good.
God is so good. He's so good to me.
Hey, church fam. Molly and I are going to teach you guys how to sing God is so good in Hindi. We're going to say Jesus is so good because it's easier. All right, so we're going to say Yishu.
Yishu.
Acha.
Acha.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
And at the end we'll say Acha.
Acha.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Mujiko.
Mujiko.
Yeah, okay. Yishu Acha. Hey.
See?
Yishu Acha. Hey. Yeshua Chahe, Achahe, Mujiko. All right.
Hey, let's give it up for Scott. It's one of our prayers as the pastor team that we will become a church that is more and more beautifully diverse. That more and more people who don't look like me would come through our doors and find the gospel, would find love, and would find community. We're studying in Ephesians this idea of fellow citizens with people from all different Jews, Gentiles, all over, all nations, tribes, and tongues. And so thank you for being the kind of church that is receptive to learning different languages. Thank you for being the kind of church that is receptive to people who may not look like you or sound like you or dress like you. I mean, all that stuff. There's real value in the beautiful diversity that we are praying for and seeing in the New Testament. All right, 2 weeks ago, as I was preparing to preach a sermon, we were we're going to have a members meeting. God laid this 1 Corinthians 12 idea, metaphor on my heart. It's a mind-blowing metaphor. It's a revolutionary reality. It's a group identity. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12, 27. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You all, y'all are the body of Christ and individually members of it. He gives this group identity all over the New Testament. He actually speaks about it in Ephesians, the book that Dr. Abe's working through with us. Every single person on the planet who has repented of their sin, who has put their trust and their hope and pledged their allegiance to King Jesus, they are now a part of this body of Christ. And specifically, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, you are the body of Christ. So we may rightly deduce by extension, Paul's talking to this New Testament gospel, they understand the gospel, they're believing the gospel, they're hoping in Jesus, says you are the body of Christ. We may understand and deduce by extension that we at Fellowship Church, if we are pledging allegiance to that same Jesus through the same Spirit, we've got one faith, one baptism, there's a unity there, that we, the members of Fellowship Church, are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We talked a little bit about this 2 weeks ago. He gives us the mission. We take our orders from him. It's why we as a church would sing, O church, arise, put your armor on and hear the call of Christ our what? Christ our captain. He's our captain. He calls the shots. He gives us our directives. And when Jesus says, go, the church, the body of Christ says, yes, Lord, where do you want me to go? When Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, which he does, the church says, yes, Lord, every dollar we have is from you. You've been so gracious to us. We give back to you in obedience and as a response of worship. And when Jesus says, jump, we say, how high? I don't remember Jesus telling us to jump, but you get the idea. You get the idea. Our posture towards Jesus as our head is one of humble submission. We don't come to him with our agenda. This might be getting a little uncomfortable here, okay? Because I like my agenda, right? And if you're like me, you like your agenda. But we don't come to him with our agenda. We come to him and ask for his. When we open up God's word, or when we hear it proclaimed, when we show up to a gospel community group or a fellowship students gathering, we don't primarily seek to be affirmed in what we think. We come to our head, King Jesus, and seek primarily to be formed into his image, his likeness, his body. Y'all are the body of Christ. And the fact that the church is the body of Christ speaks to so many things. As the body of Christ, it should not be surprising to us when we're treated like the physical body of Christ, when we're shamed, when we're beaten, when we're mistreated, when we suffer. In fact, it seems like we ought to be surprised if those things aren't our experience, if not a little worried. As the body of Christ, we must stand, and this is 2 weeks ago, just trying to catch you up a little bit. We must stand united to function. You think of a body, it's all kind of interdependent to function. If you're gonna stand up and be the body under the head of Jesus, you gotta stand united to function. You gotta work together. You gotta cooperate. You gotta appreciate the various members of the body. And I love this idea that Paul brought out in 1 Corinthians 12. Each member, even if you think like, you're not important, or you don't have a microphone in your hand, or you're not up on the platform, or you don't have some staff role or elder role or something like that in the church. Every member, he says, is indispensable. I want to hear you loud and clear. If you're a member of this church, specifically in this context, you are indispensable to Fellowship Church. Valued, honored. But there is one implication that as I reflected on my sermon 2 weeks ago, I just felt like, man, I want to spend more time here. I don't think I gave it the attention it deserves. So this is kind of like Body of Christ part two today. And here it is. As we were working through Ephesians to understand God's grand plan, right? God's grand plan. I love what we're doing with Ephesians with Abe. To unite all things in Christ. We just need to be crystal clear on this. As a member of the body of Christ, you have been gifted. You've been gifted. And if that's true, we'd better understand how we're gifted, and we better understand how we are to steward them. And so it's my prayer today to take the ball a little further down the field as we understand this beautiful group identity as the body of Christ, to understand our gifting. And I would love that every single member of Fellowship Church would have in this coming season, maybe if not now, but in this coming season, as we talk through these things at the gospel community group level and so forth, to understand, one, how you are gifted. You'd be able to know, hey, this is my spiritual gifting, and that you'd have a clear path toward using that gift for the common good of the church. I want to do a little caveat here. I didn't plan on doing this, but as I was singing, and I was hearing Shannon and Ashley and Tara and Justin and this worship band, I was just like seeing the body of Christ at Fellowship Church like do its thing. I was just like blown away by with gratitude. I could see this kind of sermon feeling like, oh man, I'm not doing enough. I need to do more. Pastor Todd doesn't think we're cutting it. You know, like, I don't know if you've heard of this idea of negative interpretation, but I can do that. You know, I can hear a sermon like that. Oh man, I just need to do more. Put up my, you know, pull up my bootstraps and get to work. You know, I'm not cutting it. I don't want anyone here to hear that. In fact, I'd like you to hear the opposite. I see from my seat on the fellowship bus a church that is doing a beautiful job of considering how they're gifted and walking in those gifts. It's a beautiful thing. And so I want you to take encouragement from that. But let's get after it. If you're not there already, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Wendy, my dear sister in the Lord, read a few verses for us. I'm just going to read a little bit more. I'm going to read kind of before it and after it. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 11, just to give you an idea of this context. We're going to get after it, understanding our giftings and so forth. Here it is. Starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, quote, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, quote, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. That's the word of the Lord for us today. I'm thankful for it. And if Fellowship Church is going to be a faithful representation of the body of Christ to our neighbors, to our community, we must do the hard work of understanding texts like this, understanding our gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. And so I've got the five D's of spiritual gifts. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you five D's. It's usually C's or B's or A's. Today it's D's. The first one is this. Spiritual gifts are diverse. They're diverse. In this chapter alone, Paul mentions wisdom, faith, gifts, knowledge, I forgot that one, healing, so gifts of healing, that's one, working of miracles, prophecy, ability to distinguish between spirits, tongues, interpretations of tongues, teaching, helping, administrating. The 12 gifts there he lists. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12 is kind of a helpful reminder if you're kind of remember where things are in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, spiritual gifts, He mentions 12 gifts. There's another place in the Bible where Paul goes into gifts, Romans 12, all right, 12. Just helpful for me, I don't know if it's helpful for you. And in that passage, we're not going to study it today, but he mentions other gifts. He mentions some of these, and then he mentions other ones, like exhortation, generous giving, leadership, acts of mercy. Okay, so there's like a lot of gifts, all right? And I know what some of you are thinking, maybe, at least I thought of this. It's like, oh man, some of these gifts that Paul mentions are on the confusing side, all right? We just admit that. Tongues? What's that? What does prophecy mean, specifically for today? Miracles? Gift of miracles. If anybody has the gift of miracles, please come see me after the church. Sir. All right? Seriously, all right? I'd like to get to know you. I hate to disappoint you, but Paul's point here is not to go into every little detail about what each gift is and how they're supposed to be used, like in Louisville, Kentucky in 2022. That's not his point. But I'm going to say this. When I come across a passage that just gives me more questions than answers, maybe that's you too. I don't have everything figured out. I don't have this passage figured out. What I like to do is I like to put my questions and the confusing stuff through a filter of sorts that helps me, it serves me. And the filter is actually a question. It's this question. How does what I know to be true of God and his world shape my understanding of this idea? How does what I know, okay, this is confusing, okay, I'm not sure what all some of these words mean, these ideas, how they should be practiced. How does what I know to be true of God help shape this understanding of this idea? And so I just make a list of what I know to be true about God. Okay, we know God, for example, is eternal. We know that he's good. We know he says, God is love, John says. He is love. We also know that no one fully knows the mind of the Lord. Isaiah 40 picks up on this idea. No one counsels God. No one's like, hey God, here's what you need to know about this passage. God doesn't need that. Isaiah 40, 28 says his ideas, his understanding is beyond searching out. All right, so there's room in my perception, if you will, of God for mystery, for some, wow, who has known the mind of the Lord? Your ways are unsearchable. Okay, but there are lots of things we do know about God. He's eternal good, he's love. He spoke and creation, like something came out of nothing. Like that happened. His abilities go far beyond what we would call natural. He is supernatural. For example, he can breathe life into a virgin womb. He's done that. He can make dead things alive again. These are things we just know about God. Also, God has given supernatural gifts and abilities to people in the past. He has. Samson comes to my mind. He's like super strong. Solomon is given this gift of wisdom. Paul himself, the author of 1 Corinthians 12, in the book of Acts, there are miracles that Paul did. Healing. There was a lame man from birth in the town of Lystra that, like Paul says, stand up and walk, and this guy, lame from birth, stands up and walks. We know that miracles were done by the 70 sent out by Jesus in Luke 10. We see the church given the gift of tongues in Acts 2. We see Cornelius later in Acts, I think it's 9, I think it is, might be 10, given the gift of tongues. I think it's pretty clear. We're not going to do a deep dive. I've warned myself, don't get too down the rabbit hole here. You don't get too sidetracked, because I want to stay on Paul's point and not mine. I think it's pretty clear in Acts 2 that the ability to speak in tongues was the ability to speak in different known languages, because people are saying, How is all these people from all these different places are understanding what we're saying, these people. So I think it's pretty clear there. There's a really smart guy, like 5,500 times smarter than me. His name's Tom Schreiner. He, back in my seminary days, he was one of my profs. He's got a helpful video on taking a little bit deeper dive into the gift of tongues. It's on YouTube. I don't really recommend YouTube all that often, but that's a good YouTube video. Commend that to you. My point is this. God is supernatural and has given supernatural gifts to people in the past. It wouldn't surprise me if he continued to do it today, even though some of these gifts are not something I have observed or experienced personally. Does that make sense? I'm sure he'd have very good reasons for doing so if he did so. There's much more that I could say on this topic. I want to say on this topic, but I think that's where I'll land. Caveat over. Okay, first point. Spiritual gifts are diverse. There are a variety. There are varieties of gifts. But, he says, chapter 12, verse 4, but the same Spirit. How many of you guys have appreciated Abe's sermons? I have really, really, really appreciated. And I like his handouts, too, because I'm a visual learner, and sometimes he's got, like, italics somewhere or bold somewhere. Yeah, and so this is my humble attempt at being Abe Kuruvilla right now, all right? All right? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. All right, so I've done some bolding, all right? You see this? And I've done some italicizing. I'm making certain things verbs that aren't meant to be verbs. But you see this? You've got varieties of gifts, varieties of service, varieties of activities, but what do you see here? You've got some continuity, but the same Spirit. The same Lord. Who's the Lord Paul's referring to here? Jesus, that's right. Jesus is Lord. We know that because it's all over the New Testament. There's a connection between Jesus and Lord. But more concretely, just like literally a verse or two before, in verse 3, no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we've got same Spirit, same Lord, that's Jesus, varieties of activities, same God who empowers them all in everyone. It's interesting, in the original language, that word activities and the word empowers, it's like the same idea. It's this, the idea of empowering. So you're going to see people in the body of Christ empowered to do things, but remember, it's God who empowers them. There's an interesting play there. And so, this is a really interesting text for me. Diverse gifts, but one giver. Do you guys see that? Amen. There's a diversity of gifts, diversity of services, diversity of empowerments or activities, same giver. Well, who's the giver?
Jesus.
Okay, right on. I like that. And that's absolutely true. Jesus is the giver. And guess what? So is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the giver. And guess what? So is God. Do you see that? There are diverse gifts, but one giver, and it is the triune God. Amen. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. Spirit, we love you. We worship and adore you. We worship a triune God, one God that exists in three persons. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. It's beautiful. It's brilliant. Paul does this again later, this kind of interesting kind of play. Look at verse 11 of chapter 12. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Well, it's interesting because in 4 through 6, who's empowering? God is empowering, right? You see that? It is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And in verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So many gifts, one Spirit. So point one, there's a diversity. Point two, spiritual gifts are distributed. The second D, distributed. What a fun word. Mirabel Madrigal is the main protagonist in a very amusing family film entitled Encanto. she was part of a very special family where each family member was given a magical gift. Her sister Louisa, superhuman strength. She's the strong one. She's not nervous. She's as tough as the crust of the earth is. Her other sister Isabella had the gift of creating beauty wherever she went. Her mother Julieta had the gift of healing. The injured Colombian townspeople would line up and wait for Julieta's delicious foods. One bite of her arepa con queso, and their swollen nose or injured thumb would be instantly healed. Bruno's gift? We don't talk about Bruno. Their gifts were used to build up the community, and it was time for Mirabel to receive her gift. So you've got this entire town, the Madrigal family, coming to the Madrigal estate, the casita, to see what gift Mirabel would receive. She's nervous. She's expectant. Her heart is pounding. And so Mirabel, she climbs this grand staircase and reaches out to touch the magical doorknob where she would receive her gift. And as she touched the doorknob, the entire town held their breath. Mirabel is shocked to see her door disappear. And we are left to believe, along with Mirabel, that for some reason the magical powers at play in this film have decided not to give Mirabel a gift. I wonder how many of us feel like Mirabel in that moment. We know that we're a part of the body of Christ, a part of his special family. We've read verses like 1 Corinthians 12:7 that says, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And verse 11 that says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. But when you consider your conversion experience, how you're wired, how you fit into the body of Christ, you think, man, for whatever reason, maybe the Holy Spirit didn't give me a gift. Christian, indispensable member of the body of Christ, God has gifted you. The fact that you can say Jesus is Lord sincerely is proof of that, as we see in verses 1 through 3, the Holy Spirit's work, the gift of salvation in you. It's impossible to say that sincerely unless you've been in the Holy Spirit, let's be influenced by him. So these gifts are distributed to all. Third D, spiritual gifts are to be desired. They're to be desired. Paul says later in this chapter, verse 31, do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. In chapter 14, okay, a few chapters later, Paul says, he begins that chapter by saying, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Do you want God to use you in the building up of the body? That's a good thing. Pray for the gifts. Seek them. Desire them. But don't stop there. Fourth D, spiritual gifts are to be discerned. Discerned. If you are a believer in Christ and you don't know how the Holy Spirit has uniquely gifted you, spend time discerning. And I just think this is best done in community, mainly because I can be really unaware of myself at times. And so I like asking these kinds of questions in community. I like to surround myself with godly people who know me best. And they can help me, in my case, discern my gifts, and I think the same is true for you. And so it's my hope that as we think about the body of Christ, the indispensable membership of Fellowship Church specifically, we talk about gifts that we are actually discerning in community, specifically in our gospel community groups. I just think about this question. What if God has given you a gift that you are completely unaware that you have? Your life and the lives of those around you could be massively affected as you pray for and discern how God has gifted you. And because I think this is a community project, church, I'd like to ask you to do something this week. All right, one thing I'd like to ask you to do. I'd like you to think of a member of Fellowship Church. Think of them in your mind, somebody you're close to, somebody you know, and just consider, like, as you pray for them, pray for that person. And as you pray for them, just consider, you know, God, how have you gifted this person? How have I been blessed by their either service or leadership, or, you know, you can kind of look through the list of things if you want some ideas, but how has God gifted them? And then here's the fun part, okay? Please don't stop there. Tell that person, one, that you're praying for them, two, that they're gifted, and just affirm, just speak to them as to how you think God has gifted them. You can say something like, I want you to know that you're a gifted person. I believe God has gifted you. And then give a specific example. Like, when you did this, when you did that, when I saw you in this situation and how you, like, speak to them, encourage them, affirm them, and may the body of Christ be built up. In the gospel community groups, I already kind of mentioned this, but man, I'd love for you guys to take a break from Titus, you know, take a week or two off from Titus, and just spend time talking about these ideas of the body of Christ, the giftedness, and really recognize, discern them in one another, and even practice your spiritual gifts with one another. Finally, the fifth D is actually three Ds. Spiritual gifts are demonstrated in devotion to God and for the delight of others. All right, demonstrated in devotion to God for the delight of others. Paul gives a compelling vision of a united body of Christ made up of gifted members who are demonstrating their gifts, who are stewarding them, who are developing them out of worship to God and for the delight of others. Church, gifts are not given so that they can stay hidden. And they are also not given so that someone can feel superior to another person. Not so individuals feel closer to God than somebody else who doesn't have what they have or can gifted the way they're given. Remember, if you have a gift, you may be tempted to take pride in that gift. Remember that gift was given to you. It was given to you. You didn't earn it. It was given graciously to you. So you're not superior. You're not better. You're gifted, and so is the next person. Your ability to desire a gift, to develop your gift, to use your gift, all grace. We are a body, a unified body, and our gifts are given, as Paul puts it in this text, quote, for the common good. Not so you can feel better about yourself, not so you feel worse about yourself, not so you can hide it under a bushel, but for the common good. Every member, a gift. You have been given the gift of salvation, the gift of grace. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus Christ. Fellowship Church is full of gifted gifts, indispensable members of the body of Christ. And I just pray that we spend the rest of our lives serving, teaching, leading, exhorting, giving for the good of the beautiful body of Christ. Let's pray. God, you have not only given your church the gift of eternal life, but you've given us gifts to use for the common good. Praise God. We worship you. We just recognize that this is a community project and that this is something we'll spend the rest of our lives doing, discerning, praying, developing, and then demonstrating these gifts to one another and with one another. Will you make us a church that encourages one another? Will you make us faithful stewards of our gifts? Will you help us build one another up with our words and our acts of service? And God, specifically, as As we just consider this, I just pray. I know this is, I don't know, maybe it's just some doubt in my own heart about my own giftings, or I don't know what it is, but God, will you just make it clear how we fit into your grand plan? Specifically, each member of Fellowship Church discerning in this community how they're gifted, and will you just give us opportunities to develop and to demonstrate these things out of devotion to you and for the delight of others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.